Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. I'm your host, Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, everybody. It's John Boudreaux.
Hey, John.
Howdy,
right,
howdy.
Here we go, man.
Talking over
hour number two.
Clemson, Alabama over the break.
Yeah, that was that was a good ball game.
Whole
if
lot
you
of
were
fun.
A Clemson fan, Alabama fan, it was. I've never seen Alabama getting beat like that.
They got throttled.
Yeah, they did. That Clemson team is, boy, they're nasty. Both sides of the ball. Excellent defense, and that freshman receiver, the one hand catches on the sidelines, mm-hmm. look, you know, Hopkins-esque, and
absolutely
freshman quarterback, boy.
He's a scary dude.
Yeah, Bama better start recruiting right now for next year. All right, well, let's get on the road. Let's go talk to Captain Blaine Frymood. I think he's headed back down south. More deer hunting and quail hunting. All right, Frymood, what's up?
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Dow.
Southbound on 59.
That's your life, isn't it?
Yeah. That's all right.
You know, my old buddy on Facebook, though Frank Furlow, I call him the road lizard. You're fixing to steal his job. I don't know anybody that burns a road up like you, unless they're, you know, truck driver for a living. Man, you are hot on the trail from Lonesome Dove back to Baytown.
It's too bad we found such a good ranch 30-something years ago that's far away from Baytown. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, it's 318 miles from my house in Baytown to the front gate of the ranch in Hebronville. So, lots of miles.
Yeah, and we've driven it every way you can drive it, cutting through all the little towns, going in the back door and all that, and the best way is just to hit 59 and stay on it.
That's it. 59 all the way to Freer and 16 from Freer to Hebronville. You're there.
That's it. And I made it probably my best time this last time I went. I think I made it about 4:40. 4 hours
yeah,
and 40
well, you,
minutes.
That's good. You never stopped the whole way then. That's
no,
a, that's a good time.
I never did stop at Bucky's or anywhere. I just went straight through. And, well, I couldn't make it to the ranch house. I had to stop at the gate to see a man about a dog. But other than that, everything was good.
Well, we're winding it down. We've got 2 weeks left. And in the next 2 weeks, we will kill our biggest deer. It'll be our best time of the year, and that's the way it's been for a long time. I bet you. How long do you think it's been that way? The past 15 years, the last 2 weeks have been the best.
That's why I wish TPNW would extend the season, open it later in South Texas and extend it longer in South Texas.
It's crazy how all over the whole state the rut goes off at different times. It really is, and sometimes not that far away from us, just further north, the rut's probably already finished in a bunch of places down there in South Texas. So, but we're... This is our time right here, especially at the main ranch. You know, we're so close to the river down there, in Rio Grande. But up in Rialitos, the rut's been going on for 2 weeks up there. So that's only 20 miles away. So it's just something about latitude and longitude, I guess. There's something to it.
Wow.
I ain't figured it out yet, but it's looking good. Last weekend, Mickey, we had 6 hunters, and 5 out of 6 got really nice deer. And one of them killed an extremely nice deer for us. So, and all brand new deer. That's the way it is. You feed these deer all year long, and you see the same old bucks every day, and all of a sudden those bucks are gone, and new bucks show up. And that's the game we got down there with that low fence. You never know. That's the beauty of it, and also the thing that hurts you. You just don't know for sure what's going to go on. But I do know that corn we feed all year long, it brings the does there, and guess what the does do for us? They bring the bucks in.
That's it. Just like it's just like ladies drink free on Wednesday nights.
Yep.
It brings the bucks in. Here they come.
The way you choose a blind now is where the most does are. If you have a blind that's got 20 or 30 does, you better sit on it because that's the place where the boys are going to show up. But every blind now is the best blind. Where we used to say this is the best blind for this time of year, there's no such thing anymore. Every blind is the best.
You never know what's going to walk out in front of you on a hot doe.
The problem is
getting, you know, if a doe will stop to eat corn and the buck will stand there over, well, then you can get a shot, but it's hard to get them to slow down when they're really on a doe hard to where you can get a good shot on them.
Well, that's where little effort comes in there, what you want to do is try to get in blinds that isn't just solid brush. You want some places where there's a little bit more open.
Yeah, a lot of open area, so, you bet.
That's the plan this time of year. You know, last weekend when Champ Dunn was there, he was riding around just looking for rabbits or something right there by the house, and he saw the biggest deer we've seen all year long. He said it was at least a 170-class buck.
Man.
And we've never even seen him. We still have. We've surrounded him, putting people in blinds all the way around that area, and we haven't seen that deer. We don't know where he went. They're just too smart. Maybe he was here today and gone, you know, the next day. Maybe that's probably the way it was. He was just passing through. But we're fixing to have some fun. I can tell you that. I got some people coming in this weekend, and of course next weekend for the last 2 weeks. We ought to have some good photos.
Well, I'm always checking my phone because I like those deer pics.
I wish you could, once you finish this week, I wish you could come down on like Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of this next week. That'd probably be the best week of the whole year.
Yeah, I wish I could too. I got a couple of fishing trips next week I got to run. And
okay.
If the weather permits. The season goes, what, till the 20th or something like that?
20th, yep. Yeah, buck season goes to the 20th, and then we'll have doe and spike season till that first week in February. And then we're going to start concentrating on quail after that. Our quail are finally showing up, and there's a bunch of babies. You know, I've been saying how they went to nesting earlier in the year with all that rain and everything. We are seeing little baby quail right now that are just half grown. So that's we've never seen that in our whole career down there in 35 years. It's just that late rain with all the vegetation and all the insects, those quail went back to nesting, and some of them worked. Some of those nests worked. Got several little 15 cubby quail with they're about half grown or less, even less than that. Pretty strange.
Yeah, that was a weird deal what happened in quail season this year, to start off with all those quail and then they just vanished like they did. I don't know what was it? You think it was that first bad cold front that changed things or what?
Well, it was the rain. It was that rain and all the vegetation got all that green stuff, and then the grasshoppers went crazy and all the insects. And when those quail get on nests, you don't see them. Dogs can't smell them. You don't see them. They just don't move. They're doing their thing. And even when the babies hatched this year, they kept them undercover. And now that they're getting a little bit bigger, they're finally coming to the roads and pecking around eating some milo and corn because there are not any insects anymore. We just had too hard of a winter now. There's still lots of green on the ground, though. You saw that. There's lots of green stuff out there.
Yeah, sure is. What kind of what's that foliage that's supposed to be the best protein there is for cattle and deer that comes up after those freezes like that, that green stuff they eat? Because I notice a lot of deer, they'd eat a little bit of corn, but they'd go right to the edge of the sendere and start eating that green bladed stuff that's growing.
Yeah, it's little bladed stuff, and it's, you know, it's got an Indian name, and I can't remember. But my landowner was showing me the other day. He said, this is what the deer are eating. He said, also the cattle are eating this one right here. So it looks like a little nut grass type looking thing, you know, one of those type deals. And there's a lot of that dollar looking weed that's, you know, looks like little, I guess it's just little legumes is what they are. And they sprout and they just lay flat on the ground. It looks like a little cabbage leaves.
Yeah, they're,
or something
they're
like that.
Long, narrow, broadleaf weeds like. And I was looking at that. Boy, them deer love it. You could hear them.
You could hear them
pulling the roots out of the ground of that, eating it.
Yep. They haven't missed any meals this year. You've seen how fat all the does are, even with twin fawns.
I couldn't believe how good the cattle look. All the cows are just, you know, they're healthy. Everything looks good down there, man.
Everything's had a good year. We've had some surprising sightings the past couple of weeks. We've seen mountain lions twice here in the past couple of weeks, and porcupine came running through the other day, and the dogs were all after that. And we had a black bear come up on one of our game cameras 2 weeks ago over there at La Mesa One.
It was a big black bear.
It's not a little baby thing.
No,
that
was a big bear. Big one.
Corn fed. Of course, you can't hunt them in Texas. And you know, that's a cool thing to get them back going again. They're starting to come more and more out of Mexico over to our side. And that's good. That's a neat deal. They don't bother anything. It's just a pretty cool animal.
Well, they're looking for a beehive.
Yeah.
They're looking for honey.
There's plenty of that still down there, too. We, the bees have been buzzing the camp. Lots of honeybees around.
Hey, those kids, man, they'd open a Dr. Pepper or soft drink and set it down. And I said, don't drink out of that till you look in that can. And they'd pour a dozen bees out of that can.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine honeybees taking a swallow of that and one of them stinging you in the throat? That would be
Oh, it happens all the time. People get stung in the lip. Oh, yeah. Yep. This time of year, those bees are anything they can find, trying to keep it going.
Wow.
Anyway, well, I enjoyed y'all down at Christmas time. That was fun. It was just a little slow, right?
Well,
what can I say?
And plus, we were on the worst moon phase possible for deer movement on the backside of that full moon, kind of like our trout fishing gets.
Yeah. Now, the moon we got going on right now, I like from the dark of the moon going to the full moon.
That's generally
that's the best for fishing too. But I'm telling you, for these deer, we couldn't ask for a perfect moon for the last 2 weeks of the season. So it ought to be fantastic. It ought to be fun.
Well,
I'll be glad for everybody that gets to come down the rest of the next couple of weeks.
We're on the right move.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm ready to start getting a rod bent, too. I guess you and I are going to have to become cat fishermen there in Trinity Bay, though. Anything that'll bite, though.
Boy, did you see how ugly that bay was? Did you look at it while you were home? It's, golly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Creamer. It's liquid mud. It's liquid just mud. And it's pretty strange. I don't like seeing that. It's really, really bad. There's
really
not even
is.
Any color coming out of the spillway. The spillway's got,
no, they got
ugly water coming out of
Cedar Bio's so fresh, they shut the generators down so they didn't fill the cooling pond. I mean, I went to the landfill the other day, and the cooling pond's liquid mud, too. It looks terrible. There was a couple of clear strips in it, and that was it. It was horrible.
Man. Yeah. Oh, well, it's going to be a while before you and I get to fish in our backyards. We're going to be driving somewhere.
We're driving. That's I just wish Matagorda wasn't so far from Beach City. It's just a long.
I know it sounds like it.
Sounds
like Charlie and him.
Yeah, they're doing.
They got
good.
It made down there, don't they?
They're on them right now. You know, in Livingston's, it's close to almost 2 foot above pool still, and we got rain coming Friday. It's and they're still pumping 53,000 out.
We're just in so much trouble.
I'm telling you. They're 132.72, and normal pool's 131, so they're almost 2 feet above pool. Crazy, man. Absolutely
crazy.
Yeah,
it's just, we just can't catch a break. Harvey pretty much destroyed us there for a long, long time, and we just can't catch a break for, you know, all of our guys, all of our, not just us, it's all the fishermen, too, that have these $80,000 boats that they can't use right now.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, hey, it's getting that time of year. If somebody wants to put a spur-of-the-moment big buck trip in, now's the time to do it. And if not, you know, they got 2 weeks of spiking doe. You do specials on down there, too. If somebody wants to call you about booking a hunt, how do they get a hold of you, Blaine?
All they got to do is call me at 713-703-6656, and I'll answer the phone.
I know you will. And if not, you'll call back. All right,
that's
Blaine.
Right.
Well, hey, be
appreciate
safe
you.
Going back down. I'll check in with you later.
I'll call you.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Take
Bye.
Care. Thank you, Blaine.
If you wanna hunt fish in Texas, you better listen to the Outdoor Show.
He's probably looking over going, look at this pot licker. Look at this novice.
Like
look at that flat biller, man.
That's like letting my pot, I pulled my bow in the trailer one day and I put my remote, the power pole in my pocket. When I sit down in the truck, it lowered the power pole down on the ramp. And I drug my power pole all the way to the bank. And a guy taps at the window and says, sir, your power pole's down. when I raised it up, it was about 6 inches long, that little thing. And so I go to the tow and say, hey, man, you cover dumb? And he says, oh, yeah, it happens all the time. I said, good. And my buddy says, yeah, somebody's watching and tried to figure out who taught that chimpanzee to run that boat. He was out there. He got a nickname, Chimp.
Now, time for more of the Outdoor Show, presented by Hook Spit Performance Rods on Sports Radio 610.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 521 in the Bayou City. Let's head over east of town now. Let's go talk to Hackberry Rod and Gun, Captain Kirk Stanzel. The man. Hey, man, what is
good
up?
Good morning. What's How going? Are you this morning?
What's going down in Ducktown?
Well, we're going duck hunting, that's for sure. Let's hope a duck goes down in Ducktown.
Well, y'all been pecking on them, man. I've been seeing the scraps every day, catching, you know, some good marsh ducks. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, you know, since all that rain we had, what, a week or so ago, a lot of the regular puddle ducks left. There's been a lot of divers. But we're still killing, some gray ducks and a few widgeon and a few teal, but mostly a lot of canvasbacks, ringnecks, and a few scalp.
Ringnecks, blackjacks, ringers.
Yeah,
ringers,
buddy.
Ringers, blackjacks, scalp, lesser, greater.
Yep. It's a duck, and you duck hunting, so we shoot them.
Hey, they all eat about the same, and they all hit the water about the same.
You know, we had a group of guys in here, and they didn't, you know, they didn't want the scalp, didn't like them. Well, you know what
hey,
we
those
do
are
is
jumbo people, ducks, man.
Well, what we do, we take our ducks and we do duck poppers, you know, every other night or so here on the grill for everybody to come out and, you know, just kind of hang out and visit. And all those scalp, we put them in there. You know, we have a local guy that makes a great marinade, and we soak them in that for a couple of days and then wrap them in bacon with the jalapeno. And, you know, these guys, they can't believe how good it is. And we'll tell them it's scalp. I even cooked a bunch of coots up for some guys one night, and they didn't have any idea. they loved it.
And they got some big gizzards in them, too. You can
get yeah, well, I don't fool with
gizzards.
I don't care for even the texture of it.
Nah,
yeah.
That's where all the impurities end up, my books.
Yep. You're absolutely right.
Livers and gizzards, I'm not much on them.
I got a little story years ago. You know, you remember Shaughnessy?
He kept
hearing how good these gizzards are, so he pulled some gizzards out for my mama to cook. Well, she just rolled them in flour. She didn't cut them out. He cleaned them up or nothing, and he been in there and got all that crap.
Oh, not good. I bet that cured Terry on gizzard eating.
Oh, it did.
There's a lot of difference between a chicken gizzard and a duck or a goose gizzard.
No doubt.
Use them for catfish bait.
Yeah, you're right. They're good for catfish bait. But, the duck hunting is hanging in there. You know, we're still shooting ducks. So, man, our marsh ponds are deep. Lot of water.
Oh yeah, I bet they are. How much is what's that river that runs into you guys over there?
The Calcasieu.
Yeah, the Calcasieu River. Yeah,
yeah.
Duh. Big red truck.
There you go.
Has it had much flow to it, like the Sabine and Natchez and everything else?
Not
over
as much.
This way?
Not as bad, but it's above flood stage up the creek.
Is
you know,
it?
On up
okay.
the river a little ways, above Lake Charles. Yeah, it's. You know, it's fine once you get to Lake Charles, it levels out, but on up, it's out its banks. But, you know, that new place we're hunting, that's on the Sabine watershed. And, you know, of course, the Sabine and the Natchez flow into there.
Right.
And been a lot of fresh water going through that Sabine River.
Yeah.
And Sabine Lake, yeah.
Yes, there has. And it's every river in... Well, you know, I left South Texas coming back. Every river in the state all the way to you is running. I mean, it's just...
Yeah. And on past it, I'm looking at all the Pearl River, the Mississippi's up. They're all... The Vermilion, the Mermentau, all those rivers are out of their banks.
Are they?
Just, yeah.
It ought to make for a good year if we can get rid of all of it and settle things down, and it'll be good offshore and inshore on
it
the
should
whole,
be,
whole
you
Gulf
know,
Coast.
Right. And the fishing, it's been just not very good. No trout speak of, just a few redfish this last week. Fishing's been pretty tough.
I understand that. Same here.
Yeah. But we have fun trying.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, I mean, these guys come over here. You know, like right now, we have guys from South Carolina, some from Georgia, some from Michigan, Illinois. And they don't want to sit in a room all day. They'd rather be out on the water, even if they're not catching a bunch, you know. And you can catch some sheepheads and stuff. You know, these guys don't know, you know, anything about that. You know,
no,
just something tugging on their line.
They don't care.
Just something tugging on their
it's
line.
It's an outing, you know.
That's right.
Come out there and do something.
That's right. Better than sitting in a room. So
duck hunt in the mornings and come in, get you a little breakfast, pop you a little nap, and go out and fish all afternoon.
That's, yeah, you know, you just don't want to go. It is. No, you don't want to go on a day like yesterday when it's blowing 20 plus over here. You know, then it's a little uncomfortable out there. But as long as it's a nice day, just go after it.
Might as well go for it. You bet.
Yeah.
I heard that, man. Well, anything new? Got your ear to the ground on anything good or new over that way?
And I've had my ear to the ground, but I'm not hearing anything really new or good.
It's quiet, ain't it?
Yeah, it's quiet.
No 12-pounders? Nobody's catching any 12-pounders?
I hadn't heard anything. Guy went about 2 weeks ago, brought his grandson and his son fishing, and they just went and drifted to the South Shoreline throwing soft dines, and he caught 6 trout. You know, that's the best trout report I've heard. That was 2 weeks ago.
I got you. You know, a lot of guys over here, over this way, duck hunters have been complaining because they hadn't been killing as many gadwalls as they normally do this time of year.
Gray ducks, we're way down on gadwall.
Way down on gray ducks over here, too.
We don't have any pintail. No, and normally that's, you know, usually from Christmas on, we have a lot of pintail. There's none.
See, the last hunt I made, we had a good mix. We had gadwall, we had widgeon, a lot of widgeon, man. I love shooting widgeon.
Oh, I do too, but we don't have any of those to speak of.
Yeah, I guess everything's down south now.
Yeah, well, I went deer hunting again, and up in El Dorado, Schleicher County.
Yeah.
You know, and it's normally just dry.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about 8 small lakes between my camp and town, and every one of them full of ducks. And that's just on that little ride I was on.
When I come back from South Texas, I know all the small ponds on these ranches you pass by, they were all covered in ducks when I was coming home.
These ducks are just scattered.
You know, going down, there was no ducks on those ponds. Coming back home, they were loaded up.
Yeah. I think that's part of the issue with the ducks. You know, just so much water. You know, they're scattered. You know, you have food and water and no pressure, ducks are going to be there.
Right.
I
get you.
But we're still doing good. Thank goodness for divers. We've been shooting a lot of canvasbacks.
There you go. That's a trophy for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, it is. And it's a good eating duck. We cooked a couple of them yesterday, and they're fine. You got to cook them a little longer to get them tender. But, man, they're a good duck. Really good to eat.
That's a good eating duck and a beautiful mountain bird, too, man.
Yep, no doubt. Mount,
without a doubt. You got that right. All right, Kirk. Well, how much longer y'all got in duck season?
We close the 20th.
20th? So, okay.
Yeah, a little over a week.
Same time buck season closes in South Texas.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, if somebody wants to get with you and come over and do it up before the end of the year, how do they get a hold of you?
All right. 888-762-3391. HackberryRodAndGun.com. Spell out Ann.
That's
A-N-D.
Last time I checked.
Yep.
All right, my friend. Well, Kirk, I'm glad I got a hold of you. Y'all good luck today. Go shoot them
up. Okay.
All right,
thank you, Mickey. Good talking to you.
See you, bud. Take care.
Bye.
All right. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 5:36 in the Bayou City. All right, let's get to our phones. Jim on one. You're on the Outdoor Show. What's up?
Good morning, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. What you got?
I'm planning on buying a boat Saturday at the boat show, a pontoon to be precise. What do I need to tell them I want to do to it in order to be able to fish fresh and saltwater with it?
Well, man, I mean, do to it as far as what, electronics or trolling motor?
I've got a friend that had a pontoon boat. He put it in the water and it ate through the pontoons. And I'm hearing there's something that they can spray on it or paint on it or something other.
Well, you should have zinc anodes on it. I'd have him put zinc anodes on the pontoons. That'll stop erosion and corrosion like they do on lower units of outboards.
Okay. And
I mean, they're just not pontoon boats are just really not made for saltwater fishing. They're not what I would call practical. You know, you got to pick your days. I mean, you can't go out on a super rough day and expect that boat to perform or do anything, you know.
Right.
Like what we do in our boats, you know, center consoles and everything, big fiberglass.
Right, and that's not what I'm looking for. I'm just looking for something to get. I want a regular boat, but because of my wife's abilities, I'm scared to put her in any other kind of boat than a pontoon.
Yeah, I understand.
And you said it was called what I need to have put on them?
Zinc anode plates or bars. You can put them on the pontoons. They come on lower units to do away with electrolysis and corrosion and things like that. And that's what causes that. If it's eating through that aluminum, that's the cause of it, is electrolysis from the salt water. And then you get your corrosion, and then it starts eating away at the metal itself and deteriorates. So
that, all right.
Mention that to them. You know, the dealer that you're dealing with should know that. They should be able to rig that out for you. Tell them you're going to use it in salt water, too.
And then the second question is, I know about metals and stuff. I work in the metal industry. If I get just one of the regular trailers, will I probably be looking to buy another trailer in a few years if I do put it in salt water?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. If you don't have a galvanized or aluminum trailer, you can you dump a painted trailer in salt water, you're just, you know, you're asking for it.
Right. Okay, and as far as you know, is that, I mean, the metal frame trailers is basically what comes with them. I'll just have to look a few years down the road to maybe McLean's or one of them guys and get something different.
Yeah, it, you know, I'd price, you know, check it on your own. Check with McLean or somebody like that what an aluminum trailer would cost you versus the metal painted trailer you're going to be getting with that boat, and it may be worth your while to upgrade. Because, you know, there's when a trailer's down, you're down. You're done. You're on the side of the road dead, and I've been there, and it's not good. It's not pretty.
Well, I'm planning on heading out to Tennessee with it for a week.
Well, you want something good underneath you, I can promise you that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, you know. So I want to make sure I do it right. All right, well, I appreciate it, Captain Mickey.
All right, we'll see you, man. Take care. Good luck.
All right, bud.
All right.
You too.
All right, let's go to Will Kirkpatrick on the Big Sam. Sam Rayburn Reservoir. What's up, Will?
Well, it's getting bigger.
Yeah.
You know, they're pumping both generators, I think it's 10 hours a day, but it came up about 8 inches since this weekend. It's up to 173.8, I think it was.
And what's the record, 175?
175.10, yeah.
Wow.
The emergency spillway's at 176, and they'll have to open gates before they get there. Because if they don't, it goes over that spillway, they got no control of it.
Sure.
If they open the gates up, they can control how much flooding they're going to get downstream.
Mm-hmm.
But the Natchez is still in flood stage, so, you know, whatever they put in, if they put in, you know, just a few hours every day with both generators, they're still kicking in quite a bit of water. But it's still coming up. I set a brick out endwise out at the edge of the water yesterday, and Vicki and I walked out there. Tuesday, and Vicki and I walked out there last night and looked at it, and it was already covered with water.
Wow. Still coming up, man.
Still coming up, yeah. They've got a big tournament going.
Yeah, FLW's up there, and that lake's on a really hard rise. Richard was up there.
Well, they had Powell Park, they're launching it. You can't launch by yourself. What you have to do is you have somebody in the boat, and then you got to have a pickup. You can't do it with the car. And then you back them in and get them off the trailer. My only concern is putting them back on the trailer. You know, if it keeps up, it gets another 3 or 4 inches, you're going to be on flat parking lot, and then you can't gun it to get it up on the trailer.
No.
So, but now over at Twin Dykes, I'm trying to think, that ramp has still got another, I'd say, it another 6 foot. So, you know, you're going to be able to launch in there no matter what the lake does, because they'll be able to launch even in Castle Boykins. But on the south end of the lake, you know, now with the lake still coming up, Powell Park's probably not going to be able to, but the tournament starts today, I think, so it doesn't make any difference. They got to go out of Castle Boykins. Or not Castle Boykins, they got to go out of the county ramp over at Jasper. I don't know how many people fish one of these, but that's a big parking lot over there, and it was full.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, FLW, so, it's big. There's a bunch of them.
Well, they say that there's, you know, a lot of people fish with the tournament, while not in the tournament, while the tournament's going on, you see how they do against the pros.
Right.
I'm more interested in how I do against the fish. I don't plan on filleting the pros. But, you know, that it's going to be interesting. You know, what bothers me, what concerns me is the fact that there's not many people today, Mickey, that have fished a lake that's got a lot of dead timber in it. You know, most of the reservoirs, the timber's already gone. You don't, unless you get down in, like, in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, where they got a lot of cypress, and it's not dead. You know, the trees are there, but they're still alive.
Yeah.
Like, if you get up East Bayou, you know, it's just solid cypress trees. But it's also solid mud. Mm-hmm. Now, the water's fairly clear over here at Powell Park.
Yeah, it's dirty up north. Richard went over there for a couple of days. He said it's really dirty up north.
Yep. And there's going to be a lot of stuff out there floating. I've got treated wood that I cut off the top of fence posts, and it's out in my backyard floating around. So anything that's laying on the ground that's not attached, if it's not rotted, it's going to float. And when they start, when they have to open the gates, and it looks like they're going to have to, that's going to pull a lot of that stuff off the back. And floating trees and lower units don't go together.
Well,
you know, I've had two lower units before we got trim and tilt. I've had two lower units that I had to get re-welded because I'd hit floating logs. I hit one up in Alabama at Smith Reservoir, and then I hit one here on Rayburn back in where Moore Farm used to be. You know, people don't realize that this thing used to be full of wood. You know, you had the amber forest, the black forest, up in Square Woods. You had on up Age Bayou, up the Angelina River, and that, you know, a lot of that wood was, it broke off and it floated down, but we don't have that much anymore. But you're going to have it with all the pines we've had that's rotted on the shoreline. They're supposed to get a front coming in, what, sometime this weekend?
Yeah, we're going to get a chance of rains picking up tomorrow and Saturday, so we've got more rain in the forecast coming, but it's going to turn off.
If they get, you know, if we get any kind of big wind, you know, it's not unusual this time of year to get 30 to 40-mile-an-hour winds. You get some 40-mile-an-hour winds, you're going to have some dead pine trees go over.
Oh, I guarantee.
I've probably got 15 or 20 in the backyard that, you know, on the core property just over my fence that are dead. And if they fall on my property, I end up having to take care of them because the core don't do it. We had that 10-foot high water here 5 years ago. I had a couple of them, and I called them, and they said, well, you know, you can cut them up. I said, I don't want to cut them up. I want to get them off my property. Well, we don't do that. Now, you could probably push it and take it to court, but you'd spend way more money than you want to get to court. Court is, if they don't want to do something, they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, they've got probably floors of attorneys are in Washington with nothing to do.
Yeah, we see that every day up there. So that's,
That's
par for the course.
The lake is still... I talked to a guy who'd been out fishing, and he caught one fish all day, but he's just out fishing. You know, he wasn't, and he didn't get up in the woods. He told me the exact same reason I was talking about, because he's afraid of hitting one of them trees and having it come over in the boat. But he was fishing there out of Powell Park going up the East Bayou, and he said the back of the cove was pretty clear. And the water was 56 degrees. So, you know, here it is, January, 56 degrees still.
Yep. Well, yeah, somebody will get in them. Somebody will catch a good sack. It always happens. Yeah.
You know, fish or bass always go, at least they have, always go shallow on a rise.
Always.
And if that, you know, with that water being in the mid-50, that's not going to force them to go deep. And they always stay shallow on an off-color rise. So, you know, they may, what it's like up north, you know, that used to be pretty common on Livingston 30, 35, 40 years ago. You know, you get a big Texans. We used to laugh about the Texans going to have a football game, or Texas is going to have a football game up in Dallas, and we're going to get a rise from all the Budweiser they play.
There you go. We get it all down this way.
And it would, you know, it'd be off color because they use spinner baits with orange blades, chartreuse blades. I haven't seen a spinner bait with a chartreuse blade for a long time.
No.
But this be a good time for
it. Stained water, you bet you. That's a good time to do it. Hey, real quick, you got your electronics class coming up in February. Give those dates out in case somebody's interested in.
It's February 17th, 18th, and 19th.
All right.
And big bass, the water will be down by then. It's the first week in April. So.
Yeah.
But we still got room in both classes. All they got to do is give me a call.
All right, well, how do they do that? Give them a number.
409-584-3177.
3177.
And those units after the class, you know, Lawrence lets us sell them. They've got a new unit warranty, so they can save a bunch of money.
Yeah, they can. And a good friend of mine, he's waiting for you to have your class because he wants to put all new units on his boat, so he'll be calling you.
Okay.
I'll get him hooked up on that because that's the best deal of the century right there. All right,
it's good shape. It's just high.
That's it.
You can put in at the north end or the south end. It's just mid-lake where you got a problem.
I understand.
You can still put in at Five Fingers if you can get in. They got the gate locked, you know.
Yeah.
There ain't been anybody from the Forest Service for years down there. You know, they have volunteers clean the place up.
Yeah.
So it don't make any difference whether they're open or closed, but they sent somebody over here special to put locks on the gate.
I understand. They had somebody to do that.
Our tax dollars at work.
That's it. Got to punish everybody. All right, man. Thanks, Will. We'll see you, bud.
Yeah.
All right, later.
Bye.
All right, let's go to Captain Plog. James, what's going on? I don't have long this morning. We kind of missed a couple of times, but I got you on anyway. What's up, man?
Yeah. What's happening, buddy?
Oh, nothing. How you been?
How you? How's your old peg?
How's
your peg?
I'm back. I'm returning to normal.
Yeah, that's good.
No, man, we ain't doing nothing. I talked to you when I was going fishing Monday.
Yeah,
and,
I talked to you Monday, I think. Yeah, it was Monday.
Yeah, Monday was good. I found a bunch of fish. I mean, I didn't lean on nothing, but I think I caught 12 trout and 2 reds. And looked at a bunch of stuff, and I went back Tuesday, and my water had gotten fresh. I mean, I guess that wind, and I was fishing, you know, where a southwest wind was kind of blowing in on the bank right there, and I guess it blew that fresh water in there, and we still caught them, but we didn't catch nothing with no size. I mean, we left there, we had caught 20, I think, and no fish like what I caught Monday. I mean, Monday, they were all hogs. Hogs up to
solids,
3 pounds.
Solids, man. Caught some solids, bro.
But it was pretty good fishing, and it didn't take me long to catch a limit pretty quick. And but anyway, we beat it up. We caught like 20 there, and I moved at a place that I would never go fishing in January. And we caught about, I don't know, Mickey, 40, 50 little old trout. I was trying to catch some redfish. We caught one about 37 inches and one about.
Yeah, I've
18
seen
inches.
That picture of that old boy holding up that big old nasty rubber.
Yeah, lip. That was Rick. We had a bet. I said, we were going to bet $1,000. He said, how about $1? I said, I'm just telling you, man, the redfish are here. We ain't catching nothing but a little 14-inch trout every cast. I said, well, I'm glad I didn't bet no 1,000. about that time he hooked that big old redfish.
Well, that's where them little reds going to be. They're going to be eating them little trout this time of year for sure.
That's exactly what I told him. And I ain't talking about catching a few of them. I think we caught maybe five keepers there or whatever, but we caught 40, 45, 12-inch trout, little bitty dudes. And this is a place I would never go fish in January, but I was kind of close.
Find them big old rubber lips. Just look for them little trout this time of year. They'll be eating on them.
For sure. Then we moved there, and I went, and I did catch one nice trout, real shallow, about knee-deep water. Got one about 3.5 pounds, but everything went shallow. I had a bunch of bites. We had a bunch of bites in there on top waters, but I think most of them were redfish, a little 18, 19-inch redfish. But we had a couple pretty good days of fishing, you know.
Well,
we're not traveling, you know. I ain't going to Matagorda, and I ain't doing all that stuff.
No, I ain't either. It's just too far for me, man. I don't want to.
Man, I go places to not fish by anybody. I'm not going to drive into the storm. I promise. But it's okay. I think Kenny caught him too that day. Monday, but he caught some fish.
Yeah, I saw a post by Pelican Rest. He had one guy, and they had
And I think he had limited trout and limited reds, I think.
Yeah, he did. That's good.
But, you know, Mick, I ain't trying to kill it right now.
It's January. You know, it is what it is, man.
Yeah, but fishing, I guess it's good. I mean, I've been doing more hunting. But anyway, we're going to get back after in earnest right there toward the front of that moon in January.
Well, I'm going to pop you again in the morning where I got more time to talk to you. We can elaborate on some pattern stuff and baits and all that good stuff this time of year. I didn't have much time because we kind of missed each other a couple of times this morning. But I'll dial you back in the morning, and we'll talk up some good stuff. But if somebody wants to call you about going in January and being miserable and catching fish, how do they get a hold of you, man?
Oh, I'm standing by. And will they call it nowadays? Open up the calendar.
That's it. Open up the calendar and booking fast. They're going quick. So get them while they're
going
hot.
All right, man. 409-935-7242.
Where the struggle is always real.
The struggle is always real down here, brother.
All right, dog. James, Jordan, right, I'll call you tomorrow, man. We'll talk more on it. All right, buddy. See you.
You got it, bro. Bye.
All right, that's all the time we have for today's show, but we'll be back bright and early in the morning. John, appreciate it. Good going, and we'll get this going.
We definitely will. Thank you.
All right, brother. You take care. We'll be back in the morning right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.